Welcome back.
Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that goes where others fear to tread. And we try not to attack people on this show. We just kind of bring them on and let them say whatever the heck they want to say. And I don't have a whole lot of discernment, honestly, ladies and gentlemen. If you email me and say, Vinny, I want you to interview this person, I won't look at their website. I won't watch their videos. I won't listen to their radio shows. I'm not going to read their books. I'm just going to interview them and hear from the horse's mouth the people who do those radio shows and write those books and make those videos. I'd rather speak to them and find out what they're all about from their own mouth. That's my research. And I think it's a lot of fun because I get to talk to some very interesting people, like my very special guest, Mike Sparks. And as Truman said, in case I don't nuke you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Well, how are you doing, Vincey?
I've kind of actually feeling quite jazzercised today.
All right, well, that's good. We were talking before about Ian Fleming actually doing commando operations. This is one of the things that bugs me, is there's a lot of character assassination going on over the years against Ian Fleming. It started as soon as he died. Someone who is supposedly his close friend wrote the biography of him. It was going to be an autobiography, but he died. But anyway, it attacked him, making him into a lounge lizard kind of guy. Well, that is part of the establishment trying to put the genie back in the bottle, because he became a threat. He started inspiring people to act like James Bond, and then if anyone actually did this, they would find out some dangerous stuff and realize it was real. So to do this, they attacked him as saying that he was just making this up out of his head. Well, the first thing I want to stress is that he was only in Jamaica in GoldenEye for 3 months of the year. The other 9 months of the year, he's in London with Kelmsley newspapers running their foreign office and going overseas himself, spying. So when Ian Fleming talks about James Bond going overseas and going to the hotels and eating the lavish food, he's trying to tell you without being a braggart, that's him. He's doing that. And he's working for MI6, Military Intelligence. And he worked for those guys until he died in 64. But let's go back to World War II. During World War II, another thing that they attacked him was that he was a paper pusher. Well, Ian Fleming knew the ultra secret. That was that we had broken the German codes and we were able to read their mail and their transmissions. And so we cheated basically to win World War II. Now, we couldn't have Ian Fleming going on a commando mission and getting captured, and then they torture him and he reveals the ultra secret, right? But at the end of World War II, he damn well could have, and it's entirely logical that that's what he did. At the end of the war, he went ahead and he said, I want to participate in this mission more completely, and if they capture me, Germany's falling, so there's no threat on the ultra secret. So he participated with John Ainsworth Davis, who's also got a pen name of Christopher Crichton, and they participated in the operation, quote-unquote, James Bond, which was in his mind before he created the character. He was already thinking about that name to use it as the name for the operation. They went into Berlin, like we talked about, with parachutes and kayaks, busted Martin Bormann out through kayaks, and Greg Hallett, your New Zealand comrade of yours, says that when Ian Fleming was called away from the kayak exfiltration, he actually went by small boat to another lake, a seaplane version of the Ju-52 Junkers, you know, Iron Annie, landed with Hannah Reich, and out comes Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun from a mini-submarine. And then they switched planes to a Lysander. Ian Fleming flew in the Lysander, and Hannah Reich followed with the Ju-52, and they flew Hitler to Spain. So whether you agree or not, the facts are you've got to look in your mind's eye that there are several theories of how Hitler escaped and several theories of how Bormann escaped. But the basic ones are geography-driven. Either they went west to Spain, okay, or the latest book out says he went north to Norway and got a U-boat and then went south. I tend to believe the direct route of him flying by plane to Spain, because why did you think Hitler didn't invade Spain throughout the war? Why did he keep Spain neutral when closing the Straits of Gibraltar would have won the war for Hitler. No, Hitler always wanted a plan B, and Spain was, you know, at least a stepping stone to get out of the continent, you know, and then maybe to South America. So the fact that he kept Spain open is suspicious throughout the war. But anyway, go ahead.
Was Franco in charge of Spain during World War II? Like, was that a fascist country at the time?
And I think that there's evidence that Ian Fleming – now, this is speculation on my part. Now, I haven't had a chance to track this down, but it would be something for the next book. I think Ian Fleming met with Franco and convinced him, or he met with a real hero, Admiral Canaris, who was in charge of Germany's military intelligence, the Abwehr. I think he met with either of those two guys and convinced them to keep Hitler out of Spain. Because that was a critical turning point of the war. By Hitler not getting Spain or getting Spain to fight for them, they were not able to close the Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean was critical for us to use it to maneuver, take back North Africa, seal off the Middle East oil so that the Japanese, if they were smart and headed west, and the Germans were smart and headed east, the Japanese and the Germans never would have linked up. The British played the strategic game far better than Hitler did. Everyone will agree to that. Even the guys that, you know, drool over the Nazi uniforms and weapons and all that sexy stuff. They will say they were bad strategists. That's putting it mildly. The British outmaneuvered them at a strategic level by keeping the Mediterranean open. So you have the escape of Hitler and Martin Bormann. You say, why would Ian Fleming, a moral man like that, do it? Well, the plan was that they were going to get back the money that they had stolen from all the concentration camp people that they had murdered, and England was desperate for that money. So if you read Christopher Crichton's book, OPJB, The Last Great Secret of World War II, who I have been in direct contact with, I've actually interviewed John Ainsworth Davis, Christopher Crichton, and had some other people working for us on our book. We've interviewed him. And if you go to that link on our YouTube channel, we have alternate YouTube channels just as backup. But if you go to the YouTube channel, James Bond is Real number 2, just James Bond is Real 2, you'll see a video on combined operations pilotage parties. The cop teams are just like SEALs that could do naval reconnaissance of the beach from mini subs and, you know, combat swimming with fins. Anyway, you'll see that Ian Fleming's second in command for the mission, John Ainsworth Davis, is a real guy. Even though he was a spy and an assassin, you know, they don't normally advertise. And you will see that during an interlude in the war where he wanted to get away from spy work, Ainsworth Davis took a time out and was a combat swimmer with COP to help out the D-Day landings. And you can go to a video there we have of the COP reunion, which just took place a few months ago in Hayland Island, England. All the surviving COP members came together, including John Ainsworth Davis. So you see the guy's a real deal. He's a real dude, real World War II commando. And the British, you know, monarchy sent, you know, Ms. Mountbatten, you know, Lady Mountbatten was there to commemorate the event. So he's a legitimate guy. He's made movies in Hollywood. You can go to our other website, James Bond is Real or Dynamic Para 2, and you can see videos we have of John Ainsworth Davis. He was basically, after the war, using, I don't know what you would call it, it's sort of Hollywood. He's working for, you know, The Saint, you know, TV show as a director. He's making some B movies with, you know, Luciana Paluzzi. Do you know her? The red-haired girl from Thunderball?
Nah.
Hot chick. Oh, you got to watch Thunderball and look at the redhead chick. She's hot. Luciana Paluzzi. He filmed her in a movie. He's basically using his, I'm going to call it Pinewood, you know, instead of Hollywood, his Pinewood movie experience after World War II to spy. So John Ainsworth Davis is spying for NATO after World War II using his movie, you know, career as an excuse to go all over the, you know, the world and spy. So he's an amazing guy. And so I tend to believe in what I call the greatest common denominator view of Ian Fleming. He really was James Bond. He really did go on commando missions. He wasn't bitter and all that because he wasn't rich and famous. He was a man of action. He loved women. He was not a misogynist. That's another one that gets on my nerves. He loved and adored women. You can see that in his writings and his novels. For instance, when Kissy Suzuki and him hooked up, you know, his character, James Bond, hooked up, he wanted to help her out from her family problems. You also had Honey Rider had some facial problems. You know, I think her nose was deformed in a fight. He paid for her. James Bond paid for her plastic surgery. So I hate those people who say that James Bond was a misogynist. Ian Fleming certainly wasn't. His character in the books wasn't. But the point is that World War II, while it was underway, he couldn't go on commando missions until it was safe to do so. But he did create an assault unit called 30 Assault Unit, which went on commando raids to collect intelligence. And that intelligence-gathering commando unit was inspired by Otto Skorzeny. I sent you a picture of him. Otto Skorzeny was a SS commando leader, and Hitler had very high confidence in him because he actually busted Mussolini out of Italy by landing gliders on a mountaintop retreat, taking down the guards, putting Mussolini and himself in a Fischler Storch stole plane, taking off the mountain. So this guy was like James Bond, Otto Skorzeny. He had his own commando unit. Ian Fleming said, we need something like that, and he created 30 Assault Unit. There's even a movie out that came out a few years ago, which didn't go into detail. I'd like to, but anything helps, showing that Ian Fleming was in charge of the unit and sent him on missions. It's called The Age of Heroes. It stars, the guy from Sean Bean, who is in GoldenEye playing a villain. So there's a little James Bond connection going on there. But people are starting to realize that Ian Fleming really was the real deal. And I think they're trying to put the cork back in the bottle again. I did not like the movie Skyfall. Have you seen that?
I did.
Yeah, I hated
it. I thought it was probably the most awesome James Bond film yet, personally. But
well, I guess that makes me kind of unique here. I'm the only one that seems to realize that the movie was an anti-James Bond movie. Because if you look at the movie, and if you haven't seen it, don't listen to what I'm going to say because there's spoilers. The movie is about killing MI6. First, you kill MI6 competence in the beginning of the movie having Bond get shot. No one would have ordered someone to shoot through, James Bond to get to the bad guy, like you saw in the beginning in the train scene. You would have waited until there was a clear shot. Anyway, then they killed off the girl. James Bond, it's about is the light coming to the aid of the fair maiden. There was no reason that they killed the girl off. Daniel Craig could have done his martial arts moves before the villain shoots the girl, who is supposed to be rescued from the Chinese triads or whatever the Illuminati drug and prostitution ring that she was part of. And then they killed MI6 head, M, for no reason. They killed her all throughout the movie for her reputation and as her skill as being incompetent, and then they actually killed her off. And there was even a smart aleck remark in the movie where it says, well, we still maybe have a few friends in the CIA. I think that the movie Skyfall is a retribution for the last movie, Quantum of Solace, where they clearly took shots at the CIA. If you remember seeing Quantum of Solace, they said, this is another CIA operation to just grab the resources here in, South America. They took a lot of shots at the CIA, which are deserved. And I think if you notice, there was a time period at the end of Quantum of Solace and Skyfall, there was no funding to make the James Bond movie. Remember, there was a hard time coming up with the money to make another James Bond movie. And then the money does appear, and it comes from Sony, right? What does Sony stand for? Standard Oil of New York. Sony is a Rockefeller Illuminati company. And they put a hack writer on the team, the normal Purvis and Wade team, receives another author to write the script. And the whole script is anti-British intelligence. And you have these little slide remarks in there. And it seems to me that they cut some kind of deal. It says, yeah, we'll fund another James Bond movie, but we want one of our screenwriters, on board. And I hated the movie, totally. I hate that movie. It's the worst James Bond movie, if you ask me, Skyfall. But I don't say anything public about it yet until now. You're the first I've heard of it from me, is because I don't want to hurt the franchise. You want people to buy the movies in DVD form, and you want them to go to the movie theater. But I got to tell you, I went to Walmart, and the Skyfall DVDs are not selling because it's an unpleasant movie. I don't think it's a very good movie. It's a oneer. You go to see it one time, and that's it. It's the rest of the James Bond movies you can watch again and again.
It is actually probably one of the darker James Bond films that I've ever seen, and I think. Well, actually, probably I think the best part of that movie was the performance of Dame Judi Dench. Just really hard-boiled kind of intelligence section chief, really.
Yeah, she did a fine job, and she made a very good case that they're in a difficult job, and she's got to have the prerogative to call the shots in order to get the job done, and she does get the job done and take down the network. But what I don't like is how they said that the villain was made to be the villain because she threw him under the bus during the turnover of Hong Kong to the Red Chinese. That no, that was out of character. M would not have done that. No M, you know, leader of an intelligence agency is going to throw his own or her own agents under the bus for whatever reason. If the guy was misbehaving, which is what the case was, she would have recalled him. There's no reason that she had to turn him over to the Red Chinese to be tortured. But this is part of the thing, the dark side you're talking about. It was the very first thing Ian Fleming talked about. In Casino Royale, the first novel, Bond is going through this problem of, you know, torture, subterfuge, backstabbing, who can you trust? And in the whole theme of the movie, and I'll give it to you and to the readers and listeners because they may not actually read the book. The end of the book, Mathis tells James Bond to stay close to human beings, stick close to them, because they're far easier to fight for than principles, because principles can be perverted. And so the whole point of Casino Royale, Bond is saying, well, maybe we need evil, because without evil, we have nothing for good to do. We've got to tolerate it. You know, this Manichaean, you know, Carl Jungian thing. No, Mathis says bullshit. He says, we must defend our loved ones. If you have any doubt about what to do, when you see these evil clowns do 9-1-1s or do World War IIs, which incidentally, Ian Fleming lost his lover. Muriel Wright got killed in a bombing attack, and that really upset him. But anyway, he, of course, writes about other people being lost in, you know, fictional sense. But anyway, the point is, in Casino Royale, he's telling James Bond to stay, keep your moral compass. So the Skyfall movie, I think, failed to do that big time.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, it's amazing how everybody can view the same thing, but based upon what they know, they see a completely different thing. You know what I'm saying? We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest, Mike Sparks, the author of James Bond Is Real, and soon to coming James Bond Is Real too.
Coming soon.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers manufacturers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, I was hoping American Freedom Radio would play the Skyfall cover by a musician named Noah, but it doesn't look like they've got any idea how to do that. So we're going to do it myself. I'll just see if this works here for you. Hold on a second. This is Noah, the cover of Skyfall by Adele.
This is the end. Hold your breath and come to ten. Feel the earth moving there. Feel my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment. So over to I owe them. Swept away, I'm so. Let the sky fall. and fall. Skyfall is where we start. A thousand miles in poles apart, where worlds collide and days are dark. You may have my number, you can take my name, but you will never take my heart. When the sky falls, let it crumble, we will stand tall.
Gotta love that, man. Seriously.
Beautiful.
That guy, his YouTube channel is Only One, the number one Noah, N-O-A-H, Only One Noah, and he does covers of so many songs. Now, synchronicity, you're familiar with this, and I'm sure you've experienced synchronistic experiences yourself. What do you think the likelihood is, Mike? Because I only organized you to come on the show just as little as yesterday, and my right. sister sent me this link to this song this morning just before the show.
I don't think anything happens by accident, and I think that there is a supernatural battle taking place at even a higher level than the Illuminati, you know, God versus Satan. So, yes, I think synchronicity is a evidence of that higher supernatural metaphysical battle taking place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Such a good song. And I love that guy. Okay, well, anyway, moving on from that sort of little entertainment segment, where do we go from here, do you reckon?
Well, the music's good. I think it's important that we talk about that the music had an excellent theme. Skyfall's theme song is that we should all stand together. And that is the best part of the Skyfall, if there's any silver lining in the cloud. It's just that we need to do a better job of it. At the end of the movie, they do basically a retelling of the Battle of Duffer's Drift. Have you ever heard of that? Where the Zulus surrounded the British soldiers. It was done in 1964 with Michael Caine, Stanley Baker. And also was a more modern version of it is the Dog Soldiers. Do you ever see the Dog Soldiers movie where the British Army squad is in the country and some giant werewolves attack them? But the idea is you just
you know what's funny?
In a building and
It's funny you should mention that, because just yesterday I was thinking of the movie Dog Soldiers. I haven't seen it in years, and I was like, man, I love that movie. You know, for some reason it just popped into my head.
Oh, it's not an accident. Why. It's a very, very cogent to the, what happened at the end of Skyfall, is that by choice they went to this manor where it used to be the James Bond family home to defend against the impending attack. But you have the entire weight of the British military and intelligence apparatus, and they didn't bother to bring a quick reaction force. They didn't bring any weapons. They just brought the Aston Martin. That's absolutely incompetent, absurd. You know, if the movie would have ended better if the new guy that was going to take over for M, the new Q, and everybody in the office had been, you know, rounded up as a scratch team to come rescue Bond. That would have tied in with the theme of the Adele song. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, Bond and them were getting overwhelmed, and then suddenly at the last minute, you have the new Q come in kicking ass. That would have been in line with the theme of the song. And that's what real people should do. If you really are going to defend something, you'd have a quick reaction force. You go to a place that's defendable, and you bring a bunch of equipment. I just thought that the Duffer's Drift thing, you know, was overused. You know, we're scrounging up stuff. There's no need to be scrounging weapons and explosives to defend yourself, or missiles even, to knock the helicopter down. So I wasn't happy with that. But the music's wonderful. It's beautiful. And if it was up to me, I'd re-edit Skyfall. There's a few things I would do to change the movie and fix the movie. So I'm not trying to be a negative person on that. I think Skyfall could be a director's cut, could be fixed to be more pleasant and more realistic. But not to be also a hypocrite, I've also posted online for free, I think, a better James Bond story. And I posted it in your window there. It's called The Bell Tolls for Thee. I've made it into, like, video segments. So it's fan fiction. I'm not making any money. Can't sue me. It's just a James Bond story, which I think is more in line with what Ian Fleming wanted, and more true to the nature of James Bond, is being a chivalrous, romantic guy saving the lady in distress. But you can go to James Bond Is Real number 2 to watch The Bell Tolls for Thee. Too bad I can't give you this gobbledygook YouTube channel link. You know, YouTube should wise up and simplify their URL, so I could give you a URL simply, like, for instance, James Bond Is Real 2 /video 10. I should be able to communicate to you simply where a YouTube video is. But anyway, that's
well, if you tip. Go, I think if you go to tinyurl.com, I can't be 100% sure of this, or if I'm misremembering, but you can put in the link of what you got, and it'll give you the option to either have a much smaller version of the link, or you can actually customize it and put the link as you want it.
Well, that's what you need. You need to customize it so it can be at the top of your head, some kind of coherent word, like Bell Tolls for the 3 or something. You know, it's got to be something that you can recite and remember. It can't be gobbledygook. You know, and even Ian Fleming or some genius can't remember. Like, for instance, let me just read the playlist for Bell Tolls for the YouTube.com/playlist? List=PLSV6XBXXYUAEPGG. You get the idea.
I mean, it's like freaking, it's like trying to write out the formula for pi.
Yeah, exactly. So they should simplify their URLs and they would get more viewers, more hits. You know, hint, hint, YouTube. You can't really communicate to YouTube because they're trying to say, you know, hard to get. We can't hear you. Can't hear you. So they have so many people complaining about different things of going on in YouTube. So they just play hard to get through to those guys. But getting back to the main idea of Skyfall, of a collapse of an intelligence agency, Ian Fleming, you know, is very upset about the way World War II ended. You know, at least 250,000 Germans escaped to South America and Antarctica, and I put a picture on your little IM box where there's an opening, mysterious opening in the South Pole area. We need to investigate. Ian Fleming, frustrated by these things, writes these novels as a way of dropping hints in code for us to get off our butt and do things. So I wanted to give you a quick rundown. When you read Dr. No, it's about underground bases and secret societies like the triads in the Far East. When you read Moonraker. It's about the Nazi scientists of Paperclip creating a missile, and oops, the missile's got a real nuclear warhead, and it's going to take out London, and there will be a stock market crash. Does that sound familiar? So he's writing this book in 1956, 58. Anyway, he's writing this in the 50s about stock market crashes after a terrorist attack. That's in Moonraker. Incidentally, the Moonraker movie was not based on the novel, which is really bad. Too bad that the book has not really been made into a movie yet. It's probably too hard-hitting, too close to home. But if people doubt that Ian Fleming's warning us, go to read Moonraker, because that's clear. You can see that Otto Skorzeny is in the book. It's clear that the main evil guy who's pretending to be a Wernher von Braun-type scientist is actually Otto Skorzeny, an SS commando leader. So I give away the game there, but I do it because, you know, the people need to go back and read these books, you know. So I hate to give you a spoiler here, but I'm trying to show you there's more to meets the eye. When you read Goldfinger, it's about the banksters, about how they move gold around. And do you know that there's a massive movement of Germany's gold from American and French banks? If you go to the YouTube channel, James Bond is Real Number 2, I've got some videos showing that they discovered that the gold bars in the American Federal Reserve in New York are phony. They're platinum bars covered with a thin sheath of gold, and the German people are furious. They're so angry they're demanding all their gold be returned because basically it's swindled.
Wait. You're not platinum, tungsten. Platinum's worth even more than gold. If they were wrapping platinum with gold, the Germans would be like, sweet!
Sweet! No, you're right. It's tungsten. That's right. I made it read a spelling error right here. That's right. It's tungsten. Oop, beep, beep. But
the reason why they use tungsten is because it is almost the exact same weight per size as gold.
Right. And so the idea with the French is that they can't cough up a bunch of gold. So they've invaded Mali, which is rich in gold. So the Mali expedition suddenly to take on these Islamic ragheads is really a subterfuge. They're really going down there to get some gold quick to try to keep the Germans happy. Now, they've given themselves time. They say, hey, this stuff is heavy. You know, that's the whole theme of Goldfinger. When you watch the movie or read the book, they're differing in their storylines. In the book, they move the gold by train to a Soviet cruiser. In the movie, they say, well, it's too heavy to move. We're just going to irradiate it. So that's a truth. And the idea is that they're using the heavy excuse to give them time to cough up some new gold to appease the Germans. Isn't that a stinker?
Yeah.
Seem like you're totally aware of that, and that's good.
And now, speaking of gold and the Germans and things of that nature, wasn't George W. Bush's grandfather, Senator Prescott Bush, involved in a massive kind of like gold smuggling for the Nazis sort of thingamajig in New York during World War II?
Yeah, he was tried and found guilty of trading with the enemy, so he should have been tried for treason, but by getting rid of FDR, they conveniently took out the guy who will go after him at the end of the war. So he is part of the Anthony Sutton depiction. If you could go to American-Buddha.com, read how he fought Wall Street, finance Hitler, you'll see the union banking, which Prescott Bush was the president of.
Right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and you can go to many banks in Switzerland and in New York and say, oh, I'd like to open an account, and they go, what with? Nazi gold! We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Have you been feeling off lately? Tired, depressed, or in pain? Maybe you've tried doctors and medications without luck. What if you could try something different and natural? Something that helps your body actually heal itself? I'm Trina, and I want to share with you something amazing I've discovered. RNA drops are a groundbreaking invention for alternative health. I had a rotator cuff injury from softball, and I didn't really want surgery. My cousin told me to try the RNA drops. I wasn't sure what to think, but kept an open mind. And after using the drops, I was completely healed and could throw the softball again. There's something about these drops. I had problems with anxiety and speaking in front of people. Those fears are all gone now. I also noticed more energy, and a surprising side effect for me was an increased libido. You can try RNA Drops for free for a limited time. Go to trinasgooddrops.com and claim your free bottle. Pay only shipping and handling. Resolve to be good to yourself and get your free sample of RNA Drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
I knew a man who had a reputation helping thousands of people improve their health. You know his secret? He knew 7 out of 10 people were deficient in one critical mineral. The symptoms of this deficiency mimic everything from heart disease to anxiety. In fact, the list is way too long to even touch on. Chances are high that you may have many of these symptoms already. In a moment, I'm going to give away his secret when you visit IncredibleMineral.com. That's IncredibleMineral.com. The information is free. It will take less than 5 minutes for you to obtain. Listen in as I interview world-renowned doctor of the future, Carolyn Dean, share the secret with you. No holds barred and guaranteed to piss off the big drug pushers. In fact, there's also a $50 free bonus offer for the first 1,000 people who listen in now at IncredibleMineral.com. Hurry while the information is still available.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio and service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs and artillery batteries not included.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a 2-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Get the real truth behind the news. Join us Thursday evenings, 4 p.m. Central, for the Region 10 Report, brought to you by Suzanne Posel and OccupyCorporatism.com.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
And no one like me.
Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment with Mike Sparks, the author of James Bond is Real. And soon, James Bond is Real too. Kind of like Look Who's Talking and Look Who's Talking To.
Yeah, good.
Look Who's an Agent, Look Who's Another. Yeah, okay.
I wanted to round this off with.
Sorry.
Yeah, I want to correct it. I was not Duffer's Drift. That's a U.S. military version defensive scenario. It's Rorke's Drift that the Dog Soldiers and Skyfall and Zulu were talking about. It's a Battle of Rorke's Drift. I was getting confused with the American version of that. But anyway, the idea is that they're fighting a rear guard action in a building against overwhelming numbers of bad guys. But the ending of that is symbolic of kind of what Ian Fleming's talking about. He's trying to find where the bad guys are and fight them in their base instead of us being on a defensive. We want to be on offense. So as his career came to an end, he wrote the final book The Man with the Golden Gun. And that book has got symbolism and secret messages in it, which I think show that he's very upset about President Kennedy being assassinated a year before, and that the CIA did it through Alan Dulles, the traitor who probably took out FDR also. So in the book, he starts off with James Bond being mind-controlled. Ian Fleming has the hero of his novels, James Bond, go to the office in London and try to kill M. But before that happens, a secret bulletproof glass comes down and he's stopped. But what he's trying to tell the reader is that you can be mind-controlled. People who don't want to do things can be made to murder against their will, which was what we're seeing today all across the United States with these so-called massacre shootings. These people with supposedly mental problems going to psychiatrists and getting help. Yeah, they're getting help, all right. They're being turned into Manchurian candidates, MK Ultra people, to instigate these massacre shootings so that we can have a pretext to take guns away from the American public. So Ian Fleming is very much a man of the time trying to warn us about things. I wanted to end with the most radical. When you remember the movie and the book Thunderball, the yacht that was operated by the evil Largo is called the Disco Volante. That means flying saucer. So you have, throughout the novels, Ian Fleming is dropping hints that the powers that be have these craft, these flying saucers. And I sent you a picture of the 1952 UFOs flying over Washington, D.C., which spooked Truman. The message there was that in 1947, Truman sent a task force down to Antarctica with Operation High Jump under Admiral Byrd. They got their butts kicked. And so this is the Germans sending a signal to Washington, back off, with a show of force. I think if you go back into the 1947 Roswell incident and the 1947, slightly earlier, Maury Island incident, that the actual cover story is the E.T. cover story. They actually want you to think E.T. is visiting us because they don't want you to know that these are actually human beings in anti-gravity craft that are flying around, and they're not vanquished Nazis. They're still on the loose.
There was a incident, I believe, during World War II, where British pilots were flying over a particular area. I forget what the area is called, but there were remarkably large amounts of unidentified flying craft that were reported by British pilots back to headquarters, and they traced it back to this this mountain complex that the Nazis had that was only accessible by a river. There were no roads in or anything like that, and there was a British force that was sent in of commandos to take out this facility, and as soon as they infiltrated and took control of the facility, all these unidentified craft sightings stopped.
Well, you got the right idea. It's what you call an apocryphal story. You don't have the exact details, but the essence of it is correct, which is the Germans were fond of building underground bases. That's what Ian Fleming's trying to tell you. The underground base thing and the UFO thing is German Nazi-oriented, and they escaped. He can't say it openly or he's going to be killed. But I wanted to give you one clue. Okay, I'll give you one of my secrets away in the book. The main evil organization in the beginning of the books were SMERSH, Soviet Military Intelligence Assassination Bureau, right? But then as the books progressed, he switched to SPECTRE. Okay, it's an acronym, SPECTRE. I'm saying SPECTRE is not an acronym. You take the word SPECTRE and take the last two letters off, R-E, put R-E in front of SPECTRE, what do you get? You get the word RESPECT. Ian Fleming is telling you that the Nazis are SPECTRE. Respect is all that the Nazis were after. The whole point of World War II was to gain respect because of the loss of World War I. The very essence of Nazi fascism is respect. They want the rest of the world to drool over them, to think that they're the superior being. So Ian Fleming is telling you, so I've given you a secret. Respecter is the Nazis, the Rockefeller Illuminati, and their creation, the German Nazis. And then, and if you read at the end of my book, you will also see the actual openings in the South Pole area, which with GPS coordinates where we could go and actually see it, longitude and latitude coordinates and see what the heck is underneath the ground of, the South Pole area, which apparently is warm. There are geothermal warmth underneath, so the water in the Bunker Hills area is actually warm. So it seems to be a place that you could live underground. Now, the legend is that the people that went down there, the Germans that went there through the years, they had 1943 when they knew the war was lost at Stalingrad to 1945. British intelligence through naval intelligence would probably know all the people and the ships that went down there, not just submarines. Ian Fleming would be privy to that. At the end of World War II, Ian Fleming led 30 Assault Unit to capture the German naval records. So I would love to go overseas to England and to go through the captured documents with somebody who's a translator. I know what to look for. The question is, did the Germans keep secrets to themselves internally, or did they feel safe and talk freely? Because if they talk freely, they're going to say, hey, this month we sent 3 ships down there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they call this, in the legend from Landig, one of the pro-German cheerleaders, Base 211. Whatever they call it, you got to keep all these clues in your mind, and then you look for them, and whenever you find something, you then free associate and say, wait a minute, I see a pattern here. They're calling it Base 211. Or, no, they're calling it the Richter Expedition. What I'm saying is you've got to have in the back of your mind these factoids. And then when you go looking, you free associate with your synchronicity, like you call it. And then once you start doing that, you do pattern analysis, put the pieces together, you try to build the greatest common denominator. Voila. Next thing you know, you've got the truth. And I'm saying the truth needs to be investigated actively. The whole point of James Bond is you get your butt down there and you investigate. You don't just sit back and go to the National Archives and do Freedom of Information Act. Because who's know if they're not feeding you a line of bull? I just read something yesterday that says that there's a guy and his whole specialty is making phony, makes the sheeple feel good Freedom of Information Act request documents. That's what I'd do. If I were the government trying to lie to people, I'd have a guy who just could conjure up the documents they want to hear and read. So, no, we've got to actively investigate. And that's what James Bond is about. He actively goes down there, he investigates, he forces the issue, and we're not doing that. So we wonder why we don't have certainty about these things. I'm laying out areas we need to go after and actually shake the tree and see what falls from the tree. And then we'd find out the truth. But what are they doing with all this money is the main question. All right. They're basically swindling all this money through their little gold, bait and switch operations, their false flag attacks. The main idea is that the Illuminati want to live forever. They are going to die just like everybody else. So they're trying to achieve immortality. Now, that's going to cost a lot of money. So basically, they're using the sweat and labor of the sheeple, us normal people, to fund these immortality experiments, these anti-gravity craft, in case the planet gets threatened by an extinction-level event. The Illuminati are just trying to save their rear end, and they need a lot of money to do it, and they need to do it in secret. And Ian Fleming lays this all out for you. He lays out for you in his novels what they're up to, and it's not a fantasy. I guess, in a way, it's harmful that the movies kind of do this in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, but I think we've been blasted in the reality by events like 9/11, Sandy Hook shootings and whatnot, to where we need to reboot Ian Fleming. We need to go back, read the books again with an idea of reading what they say at the overt level and then looking for clues, hidden words, and decode these words to see what he's saying. And then you'll see the basis of what I predict, is going to happen in the book, James Bond is Real, the first book, which is that they're going to probably do a metaphysical 9/11 attack. At some point, the people are going to say, all right, terrorism, schmerism, you're not really scaring me. Now, Von Braun, as, people get older, they get, hey, I'm going to die. Maybe these Nazis aren't right. I better kind of do something moral here so God isn't mad at me. At the end, he told Carol Rosen, his assistant, that if that wore off, the terrorism threat wore off, they would move on to more scary things. And the next scary thing is asteroids, some kind of object hitting the Earth. And if that doesn't scare people, the last fear card that they can play will be E.T. The extraterrestrials are coming for us. Now, if you've got anti-gravity craft that you've been working on, which even Timothy Good, who's an ET guy, you know, a guy that always says everything, an ET under every UFO sighting, even he admits that we had anti-gravity craft working by 1962. So the Americans were having flying saucers just 10 or 15 years after the end of World War II.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to check out this book if you're a reader. Mike Sparks, and check it out. Google it. And what was it?
JamesBondIsForReal.com.
Website
is JamesBondIsForReal. It's just a longer name for the website.
All right. And just remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering about James Bond, just remember, it's not an accent. It's a speech impediment. Thank you very much, Mike.
Right,
for your time.
Good being on the show. Thanks.
Good man. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your attention.